It's The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and thanks for starting your week with us. We've got so much good stuff for you today. We're going to be having a conversation about redistricting as we approach the midterms, and we're going to talk to 19-year-old author Layla Motley. But first up, we're looking at the last election. Since Donald Trump lost the presidential race in 2020, prominent Republican figures have continued to fuel the big lie about voter fraud and election rigging. The coordinated efforts around pushing this false information have included widespread targeting and harassment of election officials and poll workers. Many of these workers now feel unsafe at their jobs overseeing and certifying elections, and some are quitting to avoid the dangers. Just one quick note here. Some of the language you're going to hear in this segment is pretty disturbing. So if you've got little ones with you, you might want to listen later.
There is nowhere I feel safe. Nowhere.
In a recent poll conducted by the Brennan Center of nearly 600 local election officials across the country, one in six reported that they've experienced threats because of their job.
Do you know how it feels to have the President of the United States to target you? The President of the United States is supposed to represent every American, not to target one.
Ruby Freeman is a former poll worker in the Atlanta area. Near the end of June, the January 6th House Committee showed a video of Freeman's testimony about harassment. In a virtual hearing with GOP lawmakers in Georgia after the election, Rudy Giuliani accused Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss, of processing fake ballots for Joe Biden. He pointed to a surveillance video in which Moss hands her mother a small item, which Giuliani claimed was a USB drive. In reality, that item was a ginger mint. But after Giuliani's accusations, strangers began leaving Freeman and Moss death threats on their voicemails, sending racist texts, and even showing up on their doorstep.
I've lost my name and I've lost my reputation. I've lost my sense of security. All because a group of people starting with number 45 and his ally, Rudy Giuliani, decided to scapegoat me and my daughter, Shay.
Now, Freeman said the threats were so violent and incessant that the FBI advised her to leave her home for 2 months. And Moss testified she had to go into hiding, change her appearance, and leave her job due to the threats. Tina Barton, a former Republican city clerk in Rochester Hills, Michigan, faced some of the same harassment after the 2020 election.
What I found myself in was the same position that a lot of officials found themselves in after the November 2020 election cycle, and that was being threatened by people because of the job that we had done and the stand that we took, that we believed in the results and the outcome of the election.
Tina and her colleagues had already been working long hours due to high voter turnout and the challenges of facilitating an election during a pandemic. And then there were the added pressures of political tensions and scrutiny over every part of the voting process. After a minor mistake with counting absentee ballots was fixed on the morning after the election, Tina and her small town of fewer than 75,000 people were thrust into the national spotlight, with some Republicans stating that the vote count was inaccurate. This led to her receiving vulgar messages like this one.
We will take you out. Your family, your life, you watched your back.
That call was sent to the FBI to be investigated. And what you just heard was only a tiny portion of the many voicemails that Tina received after 2020.
I can't explain the way it makes you feel to have someone say that they want to slice your throat, that when you least expect it, that they will be coming after you or your family. The fear that you feel, the disappointment, the discouragement, even the anger that you feel that someone would feel that was within their right to threaten your life.
Tina left her city clerk job in 2021 because she said she wanted to make a bigger impact to help her fellow election officials who needed her help. She spent time working at the U.S. Election Assistance Commission and now is working as a senior elections expert at the Elections Group. But she sees still more work that needs to be done.
We need to do whatever we can do to protect our democracy, to give people confidence in that not only are they safe when they go to vote, but their vote is secure and that the process is done with integrity.
I'm joined now by Gauri Ramachandran, senior counsel at the Brennan Center's election and government team. Thanks for coming on The Takeaway, Gauri.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about this recent poll from the Brennan Center. What did you hear from election officials about the kinds of harassment they're facing?
Well, we commissioned this poll in the spring of 2022 of this year, and we found, unfortunately, that, you know, what we just heard from Ms. Freeman and Ms. Barton is not an isolated incident. So one in six of the election officials we surveyed had experienced threats themselves, and nearly one in three personally knew an election official or an election worker who was leaving their job because they're concerned for their safety.
Now, is this at all consistent with experiences of these poll workers or of those who preceded them in, the, say, maybe the past two or three decades of presidential election work?
Absolutely not. So the vast majority of the officials we surveyed said that this was an increase in sort of threats and harassment. It certainly was not something that they have expected and experienced in the past decades. And many of them are very experienced.
It seemed to me that part of what struck me is that it was folks from both sides of the aisle, in other words, both Democrats and Republicans, but they were experiencing it largely as a result of, or they were connecting it in their understanding to what was happening from either elected officials or public voices like Mr. Giuliani, who were repeating the big lie.
Absolutely. So the majority of the officials we surveyed connected these threats and harassment to lies about the election. And the majority felt, two out of three actually felt that social media was making their jobs and their lives more dangerous.
You know, as I was listening to Ms. Freeman say, you know, do you know what it's like to be targeted by the president of the United States? Something about that framework really sort of brings home just how different this power differential is, right, between a local election worker and her daughter and the president of the United States. Who has their back? What other sort of powerful fixtures have provided some kind of support and cover for poll workers?
You know, so there has been some response to this issue, fortunately. So last summer, the Department of Justice announced a task force to investigate and prosecute people who criminally threaten election officials and election workers. But there's still definitely a lot more work to be done by the task force, even in terms of outreach. When we polled election officials this spring, many of them had never even heard of the task force or said that they didn't know much about it. But once they heard about it, you know, from reading about it in the poll itself, many of them said it made them feel more confident and more safe going about their jobs. So that's one example. There's also a lot that Congress could be doing. Congress could be providing more financial resources to state and local governments so that they can help election officials protect themselves and their staff.
How would resources help?
So one way in which resources could help is staff could be provided with training for how to keep one's information online, how to avoid, how to keep that information private, how to avoid doxing, really basic things like bulletproof glass in election offices, surveillance cameras, you know, with those you're on camera signs to let people know that they are being recorded. So any criminal activity or wrongful behavior is going to be recorded and they could be held accountable.
Oh, my stomach just flipped when you said bulletproof glass in our polling stations. I had just been seeing about the backpacks that have bulletproof backpacks for our young people going back to school in a month. And I guess I'm wondering, sort of, with where we are right now with the January 6th committee, on television, we're beginning to see as a broad nation much of this testimony. I'm wondering going in. into the midterms, what the expectations are about continuing harassment of poll workers?
You know, of the officials we surveyed, many of them are concerned about poll worker recruitment and staff recruitment going into these next few election cycles. But on the other hand, the majority of them said that they really enjoy their jobs. And actually, nearly a third said they're completely satisfied with their jobs, despite all of these challenges. So I think one thing to keep in mind is that although Congress, state and local governments, everyone should be doing their part to support election officials and election workers, it's also an amazing job. It's helping us all vote and live in a free and fair democracy.
I have very friendly precinct workers, and as someone who, you know, votes in every single primary election of all kinds all the time, the classic chronic voter, I get to see them often retired folks, women and men in my community, again, from both parties who are there. I'm wondering if there are sort of specific outreach efforts to ensure that there is continued recruitment of folks doing this work.
Well, election officials definitely view poll worker recruitment as, you know, a core part of one of their duties and poll worker training. We know that in 2020, there were many nonprofit organizations and other groups getting involved in recruiting election workers and poll workers, particularly given the fact that elderly persons, you know, were more affected by COVID. I hope to see those efforts continue and that passion behind poll worker recruitment, because it is such an important issue, and poll workers really all deserve our support.
How important is it to stop promoting and repeating the big lie as part of the safety measures?
So elected officials, one of the most important things they can do to support election workers is to tell the truth about the 2020 election and about elections moving forward, because that will directly mitigate and impact these threats and harassment.
You know, on the one hand, we've been talking about how to make circumstances safer, more secure for election officials and poll workers. But it also seems that there are those working on exactly the other side, that there have been lawmakers crafting policies that actually target election officials in their own states, making it somewhat harder for them to do their work. Can you talk about those efforts?
Yes. Unfortunately, in 2021, likely as a result of the big lie continuing to be propagated, a number of states passed laws that actually criminalize election officials just making simple mistakes or human error, and really made a job that's already challenging more difficult. And that's really the opposite of supporting election officials, to, you know, threaten them with criminal prosecution merely for doing their best to serve the public.
Gauri Ramachandran is senior counsel in the Brennan Center's Elections and Governments team. Gauri, again, thank you so much for stopping by the Takeaway today.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Love bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.